irische Geschichten, Legenden und Mythen. Hallo, ich bin Chris vom Podcast Erlebnis Irland. Jetzt sind wir wieder zurück aus Irland von unserer letzten Recherchereise, von unserem letzten Trip. Ich habe euch ja schon einen kurzen Überblick über die kommenden Themen gegeben. Der Redaktionsplan ist noch nicht ganz fertig. Da bin ich gerade noch dran. Was wir jetzt gerade raushauen, sind tatsächlich noch die letzten Episoden von einem anderen Trip. Die habe ich leider versemmelt, verlegt. Ich weiß es nicht. Auf jeden Fall habe ich die jetzt erstmal gesucht, weil ich fand die einfach passend jetzt noch als Einstimmung auf die neue Staffel, die jetzt dann kommt. Und zwar sind die noch aus dem Nach-Corona-Jahr 2022, als wir in Eckel oder auf den Eckels waren oder auf Eckel Island waren, bei unserem Freund und Bekannten Liam Kelly. Liam Kelly ist ein sehr spannender Mensch, er ist auch Künstler. Er macht aus Fundholz, aus dem Moor, teilweise eben prähistorisch versteinert, macht er seine Kunstwerke und ist damit auch bis auf den Broadway bekannt und dort gelandet auf diesen riesen LCD-Monitoren. Und seit wir ihn vor Jahren das erste Mal kennengelernt haben und interviewt haben in einem älteren Podcast, wenn ihr mal guckt, ganz am Anfang ist er schon dabei und da haben wir ihn über seine Arbeit interviewt. Diesmal geht es um Themen wie Mythologie, Legenden, Geschichte auf Eckel. Und anhand von diesem Interview seht ihr auch, wie stark die Iren noch mit ihrer spirituellen Welt, mit ihrer Tradition verbunden sind. Also an manchen Stellen sind die Feen, Leprechauns und alle diese Wesen noch lebendig. Yes, this time we are here in at Eckel Island with Liam and
Mars.
Mars.
Like the planet.
And we do a bit of
research
on Irish Legends history and myths
and folklore.
And we started with Robin Hood, no?
I think like people like Robin Hood, you know, Robin Hood probably never existed, but there was probably somebody that did rob from the rich to feed the poor.
Okay.
And Robin Hood comes from like Robin in the Hood.
Mm-hmm.
Because he probably wore, you know, a hood over his face, like we call it the modern day balaclava. And as time has gone on, he's been glorified in song and in myth, and his greatness has grown all the time.
Mm.
With every group.
Getting bigger every day.
And do you have an example in the Irish history
this? Probably. I think everybody knows about Fionn Mac Cuail, but there was another warrior called Cú Chulainn, who came from Ulster, which we call now Northern Ireland, and we will be calling Ulster in a few years' time again. The famous story about Cú Chulainn was he was on his way to battle, and he stopped by a river to have a drink of water, and a beautiful lady appeared beside him, and she warned him that this battle was going to be his final battle, and he was going to be injured and he was going to die. And being a man, he dismissed her prophecy and carried on and went to the war, and he was mortally wounded, and his soldiers tied him to a post to make him look as if he was alive to the opposing army, because Cúchulainn was, he just frightened men to look at him even. And they, all of a sudden, out of the sky comes a raven, and she lands on his shoulder. And that raven was Morgana, who was a changer in Irish mythology, and she was the beautiful lady at the river. And now she's transformed to a crow. And the opposing army knew he was dead when she started to pick his eyes.
Oh.
So hence he sort of listened to Morgana at the river while he was having a drink. So thus, if you see statues of Cúchulainn anywhere, mainly in Dublin, there's always a raven sitting on his shoulder. So that's one of the famous legends. And he, that has grown and grown and grown in time. And Morgana at the moment is being revered by, mainly by women who are redefining themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But,
as a symbol then.
And they use her as a symbol.
Morgana is a symbol from the British mythology, from the...
She's in most mythology.
There's
a Morgana with Merlin.
Mm.
In King Arthur on the Round Table, yeah. And the Morgana is there are three sisters.
The Celtic three sisters.
Yeah.
The goddesses.
Yeah, three goddesses.
Okay.
So there's Morgana. Bawa is the name of the other one.
Yeah.
And the third one, for the life of me, I can't think of her name. But Morgana was, she's identified as really the goddess of war, but she's one of the changers. And people nowadays still believe in Morgana. There is, some women have this presence, and they associated with Morgana.
Okay.
So, you probably are one of them.
Okay.
They're supposed to, here even in Acklig, in the deserted village, if you look at the way the houses are built,
yeah,
and where they're built, and why did they build there? It's a very unusual place, you know, to put houses. Normally at that time, they used to build right along the coast, close to the coast. So there is a theory that there was another village there before that, okay? And plus, the stonework is not... It wouldn't have been... That kind of stonework wouldn't have been used pre-famine times. So there's a theory that there was a people here that had greater knowledge than the people that actually were building those houses. And the greater knowledge, a lot of people believe that it was the fairies, they call them the fairies. We call them fairies because it's a name that we throw at things but we don't understand. It's like God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where did the word God come from? Like, you know, God, there's God in every religion that you think of. But we have this, and it's blind faith, God. You know, did anyone ever see him hanging off a cross? Did anyone ever see him going up in the clouds? You know, did they see it happen?
Mm-hmm.
So it's pure blind faith, right? Fairies are... another power. Why can't we believe in that if we can believe in religion?
It's energy.
It's an energy that's there. So why can we not just believe it? And why do we doubt it? Or why do we even question it? But getting back to the stonework, it supposedly was a people with a greater power that done it, right? Okay. And also, if you look at the lay of the land, higher up than the deserted village, there's the remains of a road that runs from the very end of the village, right across the mountain and down to the sea on the other side. And part of that road is paved. Now, you can't see it unless you actually go looking for it, because where it's paved, it's covered all over. Mm-hmm. But it's there, right? And I had a lady come to me explaining this to me once, okay? And she also said that there was another village higher up than the deserted village, which everybody denied. But in the last 6 or 7 years, they have found what they call roundhouses up there. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the deserted village as well, if you look at it, it's kind of split into three. And each one that's split, there's a river coming down the side of it, so they had water coming down. So it was all pre-planned, and it looks like a modern-day, you know, town, if you look at it, the way it's laid out. So that's the theory that, that there was a greater, people with a greater knowledge here before us. That's one of the theories on it. Whether you believe that now or not is totally up to yourself. Also, people on the west coast of Ireland, if you look at them, and particularly here now in Achill, there's a lot of people with darker skin. And the belief was that that came from the Spanish Armada, which is totally untrue. Because there was a trading link from Africa up along the coast, Spain, and into Ireland. And that's where that dark skin colour has come from. It's not, well, way before the Spanish Armada. Mm-hmm. There was a trade link all the way along. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons that we see. The only example I can give you is of what I've seen, okay? A lady came from Iceland to see me, similar to you coming to Ireland, to Ireland, in this, and she tried friending me on Facebook, and I dismissed her, dismissed, and then she did friend, or I friended her, and her background was the Canadian Indian culture. And she sent me an email then saying she was coming to Ireland, and I just answered it by saying, fine, I didn't, connect in any other way. And then she said, I might come to Achill, and I said, well, great, nothing else. Didn't engage in conversation. And then another email saying, could she stay with us? So I kind of looked her up then, and she seemed fairly, you'd call it, normal. And but when she arrived here, she had a daughter with her, and she was very, she seemed to know an awful lot about me that wasn't on Facebook or any other, any other media or social media anywhere. Cut a long kind of story short with her. I brought her down to the Valley House, which is far into the island, and there's two white horses in it. And one of them wasn't broke, and when she saw the horses, she wanted to get out of the car. And I kind of said to her, no, don't, because the horse is wild, he's wild. Like, she said, I'm fine, fine. So when she goes out, the horse comes at her at 100 miles an hour, and she kind of just weaves her hands, and he bows down on his two front knees in front of her. So she's chatting, and the horse's head is, he's nodding his head as if he's understanding what she's saying to him. And then she does that, and he gets up, and she walks around the circle, and the horse follows her around. And then she went into, the way they do the dressage with horses, mm-hmm. like that, and the horse copied her. So she gets back into the car, and I didn't say, isn't that great, or isn't that wonderful, or isn't it unusual or anything? I didn't even pass any comment on it whatsoever. I thought, this happens every day of the week to me. So brought in into the Valley House, which has a presence. And it's the lady that was there, she had a very bad experience. She was badly raped and so on and so forth, right? And she walked in one door and straight out the back door. And she said, can't stay in there. It's bad feeling, right? So later that day, then she wanted to, that evening, she wanted to go to the Circuit Village. So at this stage, I kind of had enough of her. She was coming across really powerful to me, you know, like, I don't know, I couldn't put my finger on it. And I said, right, okay, so she gets into the car, and I was driving my father's car, and he had died about 3 months before that. So I drove her straight to the end of the village, thinking I'm going to get this over and done with very quickly. But on the way back, she said to me, can you stop the car? And it was directly between a gap and the two villages. And she's looking up the mountain, and I thought, what is she looking at, you know? It was, all that was there were sheep, and it was kind of getting dark, you know, kind of dusky. And eventually she turned and she said to me, can you see the lights? And I said, no, I couldn't see any lights. So she asked me two or three times, and eventually I could see what I call orbs. And they're pulsating, and real pure clear light, not like a white electric light or anything like that, pure clear. So I said, oh, I can, you know? And she went, it's great, blah, 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 blah. Those lights are from the village that used to be there, right? And for want of a better word, call them a fairies. So I thought that was fine, you know? I felt that, and she went, I'm so pleased, you know, you have this power, I have a connection with you, and I have this connection with you from Iceland, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. And I'm taking this as norm, really. And so eventually, anyway, coming back, she said to me, would you like to speak to your father? And I, without even thinking, I said, I would, you know. Now, if another person had said that to me, I'd have probably hit them. Mm-hmm. So she gets out of the car and she walks directly to the grave. And she's going, bum, 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 have you done so-and-so, so-and-so? And I said, yeah, have you done so-and-so? No, you have to do them. He's not resting properly. No, I felt like saying, tell him, get up, you know. Mm. So then she said to me, is it okay if I sing a song for him? Now, my father was a great singer, you know. So I thought, yeah, sing away. So she had her drum with her, which the drumstick was made out of Indian feathers. And it was like, you know, a bow run. So she beat out this beat and she said, can you hold the beat? And I said, yeah, hold the beat. And she started to sing. Anyway, she was singing, and it seemed like forever. But directly after she stopped singing, if you asked me what was the song about, no, it was in English, and if you asked me what the song was about, I couldn't even tell you if the word death was in it. But while she was singing, it seemed...
Doing.
Yeah, like amazing. So, that's fine. Driving back then, I got a pain here. And I thought, I'm having a heart attack. And it was like severe, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to go off the road. I was that bad. And she looked at me, I could feel her. And she said, are you okay? And I'm going, yeah. Typical, you know, I'm fine, I'm fucking dying here, like whatever, I'm fine.
Language, Timothy.
Huh?
Language.
And language, that's in the English dictionary now.
That's so, normal in the Irish language, that you say for now.
It's in the Oxford dictionary as well. So, she asked me two or three times this, and I said, look, I have an awful pain here, and she went, I'm so glad. She said, that's going to keep coming and going for 3 weeks. And it's you opening up to all that's around you, and you're afraid of it. And I'm going, I'm afraid of nothing. The only thing I'm afraid of, I said, is myself and what I'm capable of. She said, that will come and go. And I've gone, thanks very for much. Now, when I got back here, I was to the house. I thought I was going to pass out. I was that bad. And I won't bore you anymore with the details, I would like, but 3 weeks to the day, the pain went. And it did come and go every now and again. And it was like at certain times or even places I'd be, I was getting this. But 3 weeks later, it was gone. And I haven't heard from her since. That was, I don't know how long ago now. How long ago? Five, six years.
5, 6 years now.
But a lady did come that she sent.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years, a few years, 3 years later probably. Very similar to her, but not with the same, not as intense. And in the meantime, I had tried to contact this one again. I emailed her and I kind of opened up by saying, you have opened all of this up inside of me and I don't know what to do with it, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I need a bit of guidance. No answer. Messenger on Facebook, no answer. LinkedIn, everywhere, no answer.
I think you have to find the answer yourself.
So this other lady that came, I said, well, why doesn't she not answer me? And she said, you will never hear from her again unless you need her.
Yeah.
But so as far as I'm concerned, she had some connection with, you can call it the other world or the fairies, if you want to call them the fairies. But she definitely convinced me that there is something else.
There is something else. What you didn't explain, Liam, was that she's into the stone circles. That's why she goes to Iceland. Mm-hmm. There's a situation there that they go once a year and they have a sort of ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
It's not pagan and it's not Christian. It's just very, very old thinking, links between, I think, Iceland and maybe the Canadian Indians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have very old cultures. But she said when she came from Iceland, she came by car and she drove down through the countries and across a line in England that came from Iceland to England, and she said that line continued here to Achill.
Okay.
Which was
quartz.
Which she deliberately followed. And the coming through the part of England that she came through was where her ancestors had come from and emigrated to Canada. But there was no link with Ireland in her family. It was this line that took her here.
Mm-hmm. Energy line.
Energy line, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's energy they worship rather than religions, I mm-hmm. think. I'm not quite sure.
Could be.
Yeah. They're very in touch with the ground, the environment. He diverted from the very ancient talk you were having, but mm-hmm. this connects, kind of. The story mm-hmm. he has connects way back, and you don't mm-hmm. know how far back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea, isn't it, Liam?
Yeah.
But there are things that you can't explain. They're
very
still
much
part
so.
Of the
yes.
Mythology and folklore.
Yes.
You see, I think we've closed our minds to all of those things, particularly because we don't understand them.
But if you go back to legends, do you have legends in Achill? Like folklore?
There's no legends that I know of in Achill, you know, that I know that I could pinpoint and say that's come from legend. I presume I'll be a legend when I'm dead, but
the legend of Liam Kelly.
Yeah, the history in Achill is very scarce because before the colony was established here, there were no schools, no churches, no clergy, no facilities at all.
the people were just forgotten by the rest of the country. There was no bridge linking the island. And it's only since 1835 onwards that the island started to develop in any sort of way, and that was when the Reverend Nangle arrived and wanted to convert people to his religion.
Jetzt hoffe ich, dass dir diese Episode gefallen hat. Schön, dass du mit dabei warst. Wenn du Fragen und Anregungen hast, dann nimm doch einfach mal Kontakt mit uns auf. Zwischenzeitlich haben wir 20.000 Hörer. Es wäre auch schön, wenn ihr mal ein Like da lassen würdet oder einfach mal bei uns in der Gruppe Erlebnis Irland vorbeischauen würdet. Wenn euch unsere Arbeit gefällt, wenn euch diese Episode gefallen, könnt ihr uns auch auf Patreon unterstützen. Das wäre sehr nett. Bisher haben wir unsere Podcasts eigentlich im Zusammenhang mit unseren Workshops produziert. Wir haben das Konzept jetzt etwas geändert. Wir wollen etwas achtsamer sein mit euch und den Inhalten. Früher war es eben so, dass wir die Podcasts produziert haben, um euch über die Länder, Gegenden, Menschen zu informieren und euch einzustimmen auf unsere Workshops, die wir da durchführen. Das möchten wir künftig mehr trennen. Wir wollen euch mehr Inhalt liefern. Wir wollen, wenn wir fotografieren oder mit euch verreisen und unterwegs sind, einfach mehr auf unsere Achtsamkeit achten, mehr auf das Zusammensein, weniger auf Fotografie oder was wir früher eben alles so veranstaltet haben. Hört dazu gerne eine der nächsten Episoden bei unserem Partner-Podcast Achtsamkeit und Fotografie rein. Da werden wir das demnächst ausführlich erklären. Auf Patreon unter Erlebnis-Podcasts findest du auch jetzt alles zusammengefasst, alle Podcasts. Es gibt da auch kostenlose Mitgliedschaft. Oder einfach in unserer Facebook-Gruppe Erlebnis Irland. Hör einfach gerne mal rein. Wenn dir jetzt diese Episode gefallen hat, was ich stark hoffe, dann hören wir uns hoffentlich bald wieder bei der nächsten Episode. Bis bald, dein Chris und
deine Fee.